If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Make it make sense.
With Ayanda Nyati.
So, make it make sense today. Well, no surprises for me here. Today on Make It Make Sense, we are unpacking, actually Ayanda is, and the guest, a major legal development. The Malawi High Court overturned the extradition of Shepherd Bushiri and his wife back to South Africa, citing safety concerns. And to try and help us make sense of what this ruling means for the case and what could happen next. Ayanda has a guest here. But Agabuyelira in South Africa, bro.
Okay. Is that how they speak
about it? I'm a safety concerns, rap. But he pindodilele. You know what? I'm not surprised, eh? Bushiri is that kind of guy, guys, who even funds the president. When the presidents in that country are campaigning, he's got the bag.
So you suspect something a bit untoward has happened here. That's also interesting.
Also, the timing of him over the weekend, I think, talking about how General Sibiya wanted money in order for them to help him get out of this case. I was like, timing. Timing is
so
everything.
Somebody's been listening to the Mahlanga Commission from Malawi.
Malawi, easy.
From Malawi, chilling there.
Listen, these are all unsubstantiated claims from Glenn, right? And
alleged.
And they are alleged, and it's Glenn's own ideas, if it's not clear yet. Certainly not the posture of Drive 959. So let me start by saying that.
Throwing me under the bus.
We are in the same posture.
Can we bring in our guest?
No.
Tabi Seng Tubazana is a legal expert, by the way, is no stranger to Kaya. If you stick around during a Point of View, you would have heard her several times. Always such a pleasure to speak to her. Tabi Seng, welcome back to Kaya, and more specifically to Drive 959.
Good afternoon. Thank you guys for having me.
So Glenn has, let's call it a theory of what happened, which he's entitled to have. But also, we're being told that what the High Court in Malawi said is that part of our submission was legally flawed. It was based on hearsay evidence. The documents apparently weren't put together properly. They weren't verified properly. The magistrate in Lilongwe found that some charges were added that were not part of South Africa's official extradition docket. Mm. On the face of it, it just looks like this was perhaps a bit more of an own goal.
Yeah, no, from the way that the judge was proceeding the papers, it seemed like there was a lot of flawed things that happened in the lower court, and it seemed like Malawian criminal law kind of mirrors ours in the manner of speaking. So certain things were allowed in the initial extradition without them following the Criminal Procedure Act, quote unquote, that they used that fine. And as a result, it led the court to making the decision that it should be set aside, that extradition must be set aside. So, for example, in the hearing, the applicants, which was the state, requested that the Devil Shuri and his wife be brought back this side to face their charges, did not allow them to respond to allegations. So that in itself is a problem. So if I were to make an example on our side, when you do a bail application, your applicant will then give their version and then the state has the opportunity to respond. And that right to respond was denied to them. That's the first thing. And then the second thing was that a lot of hearsay evidence was led and not corroborated. So in every criminal matter, in fact, even in civil, if you cannot corroborate anything that you say that Ntabi Seng said, but Ntabi Seng doesn't come and give the said evidence or at least an affidavit commissioned and certified to confirm that this is what Ntabi Seng said, it cannot be accepted. And that's what happened in the lower court. So all of these irregularities in the criminal procedure itself was an issue. And then the court went into the papers that South Africa put forth to try and get the decision back this side. And according to the court, they were flawed. There were not sufficient corroborating documents to accompany, for example, the three rape cases that were there. There was not sufficient evidence and all of that. So the court was like, nah, it's not enough. Your life is also in danger, so stay here.
Part of what they also said, the Magistrates Court in Lilongwe, is that South Africa, I think, at some stage acted in bad faith, and perhaps that touches on what you've already mentioned about not giving the Bushiris apparently an opportunity to respond. How difficult does it make it for South Africa to go back now because of that perception at the very least that, you know, frankly, it seems apparently we don't really follow procedure?
So if South Africa was cited in the papers, I just wouldn't have sight of the judgment. It would show me if South Africa was a respondent or not. But if South Africa is a respondent, then they may have leeway to appeal the said judgment in the Malawian High Court to say that we don't agree with the way and the manner in which the court has analyzed this. The court probably overreached or overstepped by denying certain aspects.
Hold on, before you continue, Ntabiseng, what do you mean if South Africa was a respondent? I thought this is an extradition by the South African government. How else could they not be a respondent?
So again, what happened is that the extradition started in the Match Court and it was granted. And then the Bushiris then took that decision on appeal. So I'm not sure if on appeal they cited South Africa as a respondent or they only cited the magistrate who gave the order
and
the court in which it was being held.
Okay.
So it may likely be that South Africa was not cited because it did not have a say, so to speak. But, you know, if they were cited in the papers, then they would have a right to go and appeal in the Malawian High Court because they were already party to the proceedings. The reason I'm saying this because in what I have read, because I haven't been able to see the judgment, in what I've read so far in the report is that the judge was scathing towards the court and the process that was dealt with in the court itself. It doesn't sound like there was any respondent, i.e. from the state side, i.e. from South Africa's side, that said anything. I think it would have been important for South Africa to say something if it was cited in the papers.
Mm.
But if it wasn't cited, then the other option is to correct the irregularities that were cited by the court and start afresh, basically.
So does that mean that there was no representative from South Africa when this decision was made?
I wonder if there was, because it is not clear. If, like I said, if I had the, because I went on to the Malawian SASTRI, you know, in South Africa we have our SASTRI where we get our cases reported at. I was on their website trying to find this case. I think it hasn't been uploaded yet, but I can see who the parties were, because if they were cited, then there would have been counsel, for example, that is going to represent South Africa to try and defend whatever it is that was being appealed by the Bushiri. But since I haven't had sight of that, and it doesn't seem like there wasn't, it is likely that South Africa did not say anything in these papers. It was just Bushiri versus the state of Malawi and also the magistrate who handed down the decision.
Wow. Yeah, because, I mean, clearly it sounds as if no one challenged the judge's decision. He just went through a document, right, and made a decision. And that's basically it.
Yeah, that's how it sounds like, which is rather strange if that's the case, because I would have thought that as the state in Malawi, you would oppose the said appeal, right? Because the way that it would work in our side, it would be when you put in a notice of intention to appeal, then that you have to serve the other party. So if the other party is opposing it, they need to put in their notice of intention to oppose, right? And it doesn't sound like something like that happened. So maybe it perhaps went on as an unopposed appeal, which would be rather, rather strange. But once I get the judgment, probably I'd have a better idea on what happened in court.
Sure, yeah. And I suppose because there's been so much interest in this case, Ntabiseng, and because there's still so many unanswered questions, I wonder if what Glenn started with may have, I don't know, some kind of
legs.
Thank you. You know, because let's face it, this is no ordinary individual. And this is why there's been so much attention on what's going on. And it's interesting because the statement from the Justice Department this side spoke about their confidence in the judicial framework of Malawi. I mean, that's saying something without saying something.
Yeah, no. From what I saw in the statement as well, our minister said they want to try and keep cordial ties with the Republic of Malawi. It sounds like they are trying not to step on toes in the manner in which they dealt with the statement, to say that we are studying it and then we'll look at what other avenues we have. But if they, for example, decide to challenge it, what would that mean in the relations between the two countries? We don't know. If they step back and start from scratch, what does it mean for us? How does it make us look like in terms of competency to deal with these legal issues? issues now when it comes to extradition. So it'll be very interesting to see how they choose to deal with the response to the judgment.
Absolutely. And if anybody has forgotten, this is not the first time that essentially an extradition from South Africa has failed. Remember when we tried to get the... The Guptas, thank you. We tried to get the Guptas back from Dubai. Mm. That also failed. And I think we're still waiting on the process of how the second attempt has gone. Tabi Seng Dubazana, that's the time we have. Always a pleasure. Thanks very much for speaking to us. Tabi Seng is the founder and director of Dubazana Attorneys.
So the Guptas already are now in India, causing a lot of havoc there.
And what does it take so long to get these people here or solve these cases?
Yeah, apparently extraditions.
This is not the only case in South Africa that's going to take 20 years before maybe.
There's a struggle in Swaziland, the AKA.
Yeah.
Shooting.
Where are they? Were they shooters now? What was
their extradition was granted, but I think they're appealing. So I'm not sure if they're not back yet.
So that's when
Libushir. Yeah.
Because if they appeal and they do it in Swaziland without us, it's there, it's done, they stay.
So here's the question for Kaya family. How do you feel about cases like the Bushiris that take years to resolve? Which other cases in SA have left you shaking your head as an SMH?
I think this case, Yara Bushiri, will make us all now to go study the legal system in Semalau. Such cases are very sad because bakani de labantu babalekile manje, and the case or indaba yokusibathola is not there. It's very, very sad. It's like a case kasenzo mina. That case hurts me. Every time they're in court, since 2014.
Yeah, and I mean, like, you know, when I watch TV and when I like case, I just get exhausted and get tired. Like,
do you know which case broke my heart though? Yeah. Giao Motozo. Because even when the judge delivered the fact that they couldn't find them guilty, literally cited that shoddy work by the state. There's no way the state questioned the defendant properly. They didn't do their due diligence. As a result, things that they've presented do not warrant a guilty version. Even though they said, oh, we are appealing. Le appeal ale kae?
Konje manje sisibeka sustaining ngule case ka Motoso.
Cheryl Zondi.
After, I think you can ask Cheryl Zondi what happened on that day or when it began on Motoso. Ngambuza ngabantu abayi 17, she'll give you the same answers.
Yeah.
That's how convincing and truthful she was in that stand.
Yeah.
That counted for nothing, Guli Kant.
The only people who were able to extradite are South Africans, ne?
If you're South African and you're elsewhere,
the secretary.
The secretary. About Ismachashule.
Moradi Cholot.
But
there's also Michael Lomas. Hey? Michael Lomas is this elderly man who was apparently an Eskom contractor a while ago. He was in the UK.
No, being a wheelchair.
Chabo
best does him to the next door, Kenya.
Tanzania. I parking. I book a lion.
Maragata wa Lutabo Pesta, but that's another exhausting case, by the way. Wa Lutabo Pesta, what? Nikatenganjan lan.
Nalo
Why are you
laughing to begin with? Oh. So, South Africans, easy.
It's been a long year, hey?
Yeah.
It's been a long decade.
I'm thinking to myself, wow, these are all like cases that really kept us busy this year alone.
I mean, sends on US cases on TV and says, yeah, Qatar's a like case because we know for a fact that it's just a waste of time in a way. Because Usanzo to Julian in Buffett.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2014. It's been over a decade.
It's 11 years later.
Yeah.
We haven't gotten the AKA case right either.
Think about the money that the state is spending on the accused. How much money have they spent? Because obviously those guys can't afford lawyers, right?
Yeah, they've got legal aid, yeah.
Got legal aid. Imagine how much money.
Which is taxpayers' money, yeah.
Malian.
Gosh, well, those are the headlines, guys.
Okay, goodbye.
So for me, when it comes to our justice system and what they do, when I think about it, I get deflated, mainly because my brother was stabbed by his girlfriend in 2018, and this person was arrested for 2 weeks and then got out on bail. We went to court. I don't know what happened and how did the case end up, but the case was closed and the girl is still free, back in society, being a danger to other people in the society. Someone died, the case ended like that.
Honestly, our justice system is always failing us. My friend's husband passed away 2020, literally murdered on the day of the baby shower. And till this day, nothing has happened. Nobody has done follow-ups. The accuser of the alleged killers handed themselves over, but then suddenly they were just let go. They said they're investigating and nothing happened. People even that were at the scene, some of them are not even investigated. And my friend eventually just let it go. It's been 5 years now, umntana ukhula angana baba, because our justice system continuously fails us.
Yabona mina i-case eyangenza ngibone ukuthi la eMzansi siyadlala ileka kaShewen Diwani le kathiwa ukulale umfazi wakhe Cape Town. Suspend us so much money ukuthi akabuyiswe lo muntu. Wathi mase kabuyile Cape Town bafika badala umuntu akanaqala kabuyele emuva.
You know,
was Shewen Diwani not convicted?
I'm not sure, eh? I am not sure. But you know, I mean, you hear this example of a man who was killed 5 years ago after a baby shower, a woman who stabbed someone. You know, those kind of cases only get attention when it's high profile people. Sure. You know, when it's underground, it stays there. No one takes responsibility. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
You know, when it comes to the justice system and maybe some cases about Tadisera's, you know what's worse is I've been serving the SAPS for 14 years. They broke into my house. You know, I've never been to court. I told them I know who did it. They know who did it. Nothing has been done. Then I resign. Then I'm trying to attend the case.
So is it the court system? Or is it the... Remember, there's different stakeholders, right?
Yeah.
That will lead into the judicial process. And part of it is policing, investigation.
Police is a big part of it.
Like
a huge part of it.
I genuinely think that some of the times when we have lost cases is because we have not done the due diligence to get that case what justice would be. And by the way, Shewen Diwani was acquitted. I thought he was arrested, this guy.
Now my suspicion is that easy corruption, the authorities being bribed, and the
docket
files
being lost.
Exactly.
And I don't understand when they say a docket is lost, because the docket will belong obviously in Sandla, a CSC, ne? And then from La Polia, Guma detective. But they capture a docket on the personal system. Like you capture the docket on the system. So when they say the docket is missing, they're talking about the brown envelope. Well, the brown,
a young court.
A record. A system in the corner and the docket. Because you do have a case number. To say, on this case number, if I don't have a corner system in. So when people say, I'm not talking to Alasleg, as opposed to Barriang Amma.
So Alasleg before I capture?
Maybe Alasleg before I capture. But I know for a fact, Udi, Kuna Vandaba 7's a charge office right now. In case my vula manje, they will record the case. That's so that my opponent in charge of this, you have a case number. So you get the case number.
It must be system generated.
So I think the only way we can actually get rid of the rot that's within our justice system is if we started moving towards AI, guys. Let's use AI for things like making sure that when you go and report a case, there's some kind of system. It doesn't have to be handled by humans. It's all quite automated. That way, we can't have situations where we're told, hore, the docket has been lost. That's human error. In most cases, the issues are because humans are led by either greed or there's just pure corruption. And we cannot still have cases that are not handled because mang opatete mang. Like, when are we going to move past that?
Make it make sense.
With Ayanda Nyati. If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.